service, fourth Sunday of Lent. Just want to let everyone know, please stay healthy, wash your hands. We will continue to worship through online streaming of some capacity. So pay attention to the Google Group's emails, and we'll keep you updated on that. Also want to let everybody know that the music and liturgy that we are using, we have special permission from Augsburg Fortress, which allows us to use that. Do we have birthdays? Happy birthday to Scott Parks, Tracy Valletto, Whitney Lohr, Aiden Walser, Teresa Fritz, Debbie Frank. Happy anniversary to Rusty and Sheila Blower, Brent and Keely McLam. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
If you're following along in the service in your Evangelical Lutheran Worship Book, if you have one, we are using Service of the Word, which begins on page 210. The confession begins our service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Continue with a spoken Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
With your right hand, so I can see. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is take that left hand, and I want you to take that left hand and start it way over here to your left, up like this. And I want you to bring it closer to the tube, very slowly, with both eyes open, and I want you to push till your hand touches the tube. Oh my goodness, there's a hole in my hand! What am I going to do? Do you see a hole in your hand? Huh? Do you guys see a hole in your hand? It's easy, yes or no?
No.
No? Okay, keep both eyes open. Both eyes open. Slowly move that hand toward the tube. Put it right here, there we go. Is there a hole in your hand now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a hole in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, close your right eye. You see your whole hand?
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not a hole in your hand, is there? Okay, so that's just a little trick. Okay, you can put those down now. But you can show your parents that trick later. But that's just a viewpoint, a perspective, something that we just saw. And we saw when we moved our hand over, all of a sudden it looked like there was a hole in our hand, but we know there really wasn't a hole in our hand. Okay? But sometimes we get distracted. And that's what happened with the Pharisees and some of the people. They got distracted. They got distracted from viewing what Jesus had done as part of being the light of the world, healing a man that was blind since birth. They just kind of cast that aside. And they focused on one thing. This man, Jesus, had violated Jewish law. And because he had violated that Jewish law, we're going to find out that he taught that there's a second type of sight. Okay? Instead of just physical sight, things that we can see, like we just did with the tube in our hand, there's also spiritual sight. And seeing how important it is to understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that he has come to save us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us sight, both physical but especially spiritual. Continue to teach us that you are the light of the world. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. No, you can take it. That way you can show them the trick later. Nope. A reading from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? He said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sacrificed, and he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily down upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 23 and will be spoken responsively by a whole verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A reading from Ephesians. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to John. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming while no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such sights or signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, light of the world. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We worship today in quite a different way. Circumstances surrounding us have dictated that. But nonetheless, we still worship. It may be uncertain to us in the next days, weeks, and or months, and what they will bring because of this virus. But we can use this as a lesson in our daily lives. We can choose to heed the warnings and do what we can to keep safe for ourselves, our family, and others. We can help each other so that we hope soon we can return to normality and to our everyday tasks. But we can also choose what some have done before. We can hoard goods, claim this to be a hoax. We can blame the media and the government and continue to complain about how our lives have been made inconvenient. The choices we make in regard to this health crisis today depend on our interpretation and how we see the situation. Much like in the children's sermon, it's our point of view and our perspective. So once there was a church that they were doing a tremendous remodeling job. They had not only their church, they had outbuildings, cottages, they had a library within their church. So the priest went to a group of nuns and asked them if they would be willing to help. Of course, the nuns said, yes, we will. What do we need to do? So the priest was doling out the different tasks, and he chose two nuns and said, well, I would like for you guys to repaint the library. Two nuns were very happy and gracious, and they said, yes, we'll do that. They went out. They got all of their supplies. They went down to the library. They closed all the doors and everything, got the lights the way they needed them. And then they looked at each other, and they're dressed in their full habits. And they thought, this might not be a good idea to be painting while we're wearing our garments. So they said, well, nobody else is going to be around, so let's just take the habits off. We'll be in our underwear, but you know, no one else will be in here. So about an hour, hour and a half later, a knock comes on the door. Stunned, they turn and look at each other. Yes? Who is it? The answer from the other side says, blind man. They look at each other a little bit. Blind man. Okay. Come on in. The guy walks in, notices their attire and says, you ladies look nice in your underwear. Walks over and starts putting up these giant Venetian blinds in the windows. Viewpoint. Perspective. I'm pretty sure that these two women and the blind man were not expecting what happened. Quite a different perspective for sure. So today's gospel also provides a different perspective of daily life, seeing the light physically and seeing the light spiritually. Too often, remaining blind to see the truth for what is set before us, we're challenged more by our spiritual blindness than any physical blindness. Often we're not quite sure about how to follow Jesus and how to show his purpose in our lives. We fall away. We sin, forgetting that there is a light before us. Since the beginning of this church year, we've been told of Jesus' birth, his early years, the beginning of his ministry, selecting his disciples, training his disciples, his miracles, and his teachings. In the midst of all this, we have heard several Sundays about the light coming into the world. We heard John the Baptist claim the light of the world was among us and that we should heed his word. So we've heard that Jesus is the light of the world for quite a while now in the gospel lessons. John's gospel today is a long narrative, but it centers on both kinds of blindness, the physical and the spiritual. John's account shows Jesus coming to the people as a man, a prophet, a man from God, and the Son of Man. Each of these referenced directly or indirectly in the gospel today. As the scripture begins, Jesus encounters a beggar, a man who is blind since birth, lacking physical sight. His disciples ask Jesus why the man was blind, thinking like many of the time that the blindness was a possible curse or punishment because he or his parents had not lived a moral or just life. Jesus quickly tells them that the man was blind because of not blind because of his own sin or his parents' sin, but so that God's works might be revealed in him. Jesus continues to say that we must work in the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Then he said he was the light of the world and began the miracle of giving sight to the blind man. This was an opportunity to share God's love and compassion among the people. Using spit and dirt, he formed mud, spread it over the man's eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did as Jesus had told him, and he was healed and able to see. He regained his physical sight because he believed. Since the man has not yet seen Jesus, though, he couldn't describe him very well in any other way except to tell what Jesus had done for him and what Jesus had told him to do. In the minds of the people around at the time, it must have been an astonishing thing to behold someone being cured of blindness, especially since it was a man who had been blind all of his life. They must have thought that this was an impossibility. It had never been done before. In turn, questioning whether it was, in fact, the same man as before, the same blind man they had seen and passed daily, possibly for years. Today, such instances do happen. They happen quite frequently in some ways, though it is because of medical science. Now, some people believe that medical science brings miracles as well. On December 31st, I woke up with a noticeable spot in my vision. I saw my eye care doctor group first, where I was told there was a problem with my retina. I went from that doctor to a retina specialist. My vision had been impaired a bit, but not as much as it would after the surgery. But later that afternoon, I was in surgery. So from waking up until about 3 o'clock, I had been told, this is what we need to do. I had questions. The medical professionals answered my questions, put me at ease. I wasn't interrogated like the blind man. By God's grace, I am continuing to heal at this point. But why have I been healed? I have been healed by God's amazing grace and power, the gifts and talents that he gave to the surgeon, the gifts and talents that he gave to all of the doctors, all of the nurses, everyone that took care of me. I am also healed by the many, many prayers of family and friends, but again, through the grace of God. So even so, with all that I've gone through, I haven't experienced anything close to what the blind man faced throughout his life, nor the miraculous healing that he received at the hands of the light of the world. After Jesus heals the blind man in the scripture, he's noticeably absent From verses 8 to 34, he's absent. During those verses is when we hear the blind man being asked by the people, including the Pharisees, how he was healed and who had healed him. Some are even unsure that this is the blind man at all. The man's questioned, his parents questioned, and he's questioned yet again. Finally, being removed from the synagogue. In our time, that is the equivalent of being excommunicated from the church. So here's a man that was blind but now sees, and a group of people who could see but were blind to the truth. A group of people who focused not on the miracle healing, but they were more focused on Jesus working on the Sabbath. The Pharisees continued to attack this man's story and the purpose of Jesus as if a crime has been committed, not a miraculous healing. So which of these people has seen the light? Later, Jesus finds the man after hearing of him being expelled from the synagogue and asked if he believed in the Son of Man. And the Son of Man replied, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus responds, "You've already seen him, and you're talking to him right now." The man immediately says, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. There's the point that the Pharisees missed: the spiritual light. This formerly blind man was able to tell him his story, then was made not only to see, but to see Jesus and believe and worship him, the spiritual light of the world. Jesus himself told us that he came into the world, born of the flesh, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. So how easy is it for us to focus on the wrong things in life? Really easy. The past few weeks have shown us challenges in the workplace, healthcare, and marketplaces. Our current normal is not very normal. We look at what people are doing, hoarding toilet paper, selling it on eBay, a tractor trailer with 18,000 pounds of toilet paper confiscated. And we sit back and think how ridiculous this is. And we think about how bad this is. But do we actually go out and do something about it? Have we gone out taking the commission that Jesus gave the disciples to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you? To go out and spread God's love. To go out and help people. For some of you in this room and out there listening or watching today, you've got students that have been at home for a week. Hopefully by now you have not suspended them from your homeschool and you have not transferred them to another teacher's class. But yes, it is an inconvenience. Our students, especially those that are seniors in high school and in college, this is rough for them. This is their semester to cruise into graduation. This is their time to kind of live it up, get the pats on the back, the attaboys and the attagirl awards. This is the time for them to be recognized. And they're missing out. They're not getting to socialize face to face with their friends. They're not getting to learn face to face with their teachers and their peers. They're not getting to eat cafeteria food in the cafeteria, which for most of our kids, especially high school, it's not about the food, it's about the company you keep. All of these things are seemingly devastating. Parents have had to make plans for childcare during these times that would normally be set aside for the school. As a parent, knowing that your child is at school, you generally don't worry about them because you know that there are people in that building that are caring for your children. This is different. There are many other parts to this story, but all in all, are we focusing on what is best or just what is best for us? Maybe instead of using the site that focuses on complaints, distrust, greed, lack of compassion for each other, we should use our spiritual sight to appreciate what we have right before us. Our families, our homes, our friends, even the schools, our churches, and most importantly, Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. Jesus' invitation to us daily is to use our spiritual sight. We have opportunities to shine and to serve and to share God's love with others. Jesus invites us not only to see, but to walk in the light of the world. So let's take advantage of that invitation and let Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shine on us. Amen. Let us profess our faith by the use of the Apostles' Creed, found on beginning on page 217. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer that he would be merciful to his people. Holy Father, thank you for the light of sun, moon, and stars, streetlights, candles, and lamps. Thank you for these created lights that are the faintest glimmer shed from your true and uncreated light, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us even when the eyes fail and the earthly lights grow dim to his kindly light, which no darkness can overcome. Lord, in your mercy, heal the blindness of your church. Give it eyes to see its own sin and to repent. Give it eyes to see the world's sins and to offer your forgiveness to anyone who will receive it. Give it eyes to see the plight of all who are afflicted by the powers of sin, death, and the devil, and to proclaim your gracious redemption bestowed through the passion of your dear Son. Lord, in your mercy, heal the blindness of those who persecute followers of Jesus and of all who turn a blind eye to their plight. Grant that all who suffer on account of Christ may be so faith-filled and gracious that their tormentors turn to you for healing, forgiveness, and new life. Lord, in your mercy, be gracious and merciful to your missionaries, to our seminarians and their professors, and to all who strive to be Jesus' apprentices and disciples. Give them clear sight and strong faith so that through their labors, many who are spiritually blind may be led to Jesus and healed. Lord, in your mercy, heal the blindness from which we, the members of this congregation, suffer. Give us new eyes to see Jesus in one another and for his sake, to love even the person we don't yet like. Give us eyes to see new opportunities for serving you, for sharing our faith in you, and for making this church a lamp that shines with the light of Christ's love for everyone we encounter. Lord, in your mercy. Let your healing, blessing, and grace rest upon the blind and deaf, and upon those with impaired or distorted senses of touch or taste, balance, or movement. We often take for granted these gifts. Unless it happens to us, we can't imagine lacking them. Give them strength and courage. Sharpen the perception of their other senses. Surround them with people whose respect and encouragement leads them to greater faith in you, their light, and their life. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the blindness of nations and all that are in positions of authority, including our president, our Congress, our governors, our county commissioners, our mayors. Give them eyes to seek your will and hearts and hands to do it. Give them eyes to see injustice, deceit, and cruelty, and the strength and courage to combat them. Make each of us into children of your light, living in faith toward you and with fervent love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy. As your Son healed the man born blind, we pray that he would also bring healing, light, hope, and renewed faith to everyone who suffers from any affliction, especially those we lift up in the needs of our members, our families, friends, and all who need your healing and comfort. Lift them up from their pain, sorrow, fear, or grief, and give them the joy of your saving help now and always. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, dear Father, for receiving into your greater light and into your eternal life everyone who died trusting your promises. Deal mercifully with those shadowed by grief and loss, and we beg you, Lord, let us receive your sight so that day by day we see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. Bring us to that endless day in which we see you face to face in the company of all who have been redeemed by the merits of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.